Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
We'll do question Nate.
Yeah.
Presented by Brakes Plus. You get in here just in time. Mark was probably upset. He's like, I can sit around and wait, you know. I can do question Mark, and then I can leave.
But, is that his favorite segment?
He enjoys doing that. A lot of times because people come after him. So you haven't been here long enough. You haven't said anything to really infuriate people.
I get a few people coming after me.
Already?
Yeah, they don't like the music. You know, really? they don't like me rapping.
Why?
They don't like the impressions.
Why?
That I do. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Folks, expand your mind a little bit. You know? Open yourself up to something new.
That's what I said.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, they think it's amateurish to sing the bumper music.
Okay. Here's one thing. I've been here over 20 plus years, right? I can't tell you how many hosts have come on these airwaves thinking that they can sing. And they can't. The only one that could really sing was Sandy Clough, the plain white rapper. Okay? That's it. Everyone else thinks they could sing and they can't. You're the best. You're the best we've ever had.
Thanks, man.
So, you know.
You're the best around.
All right, don't get carried away.
Yeah, okay. Someone said, thanks for that under tip, Nate. Yeah, that was a bad tip. I'm not very smart.
Yeah, that was a terrific. It was good football. It was good football, and it gives me reason to suspect that the Broncos, who did take a different tack than most teams, and they did have their regulars playing a lot. No excuses, man. Nate, I wrote a column about this earlier in the week at DenverFan.com. I really do believe this is a must win from the standpoint that you have invested so much into this offseason with the idea that things are different.
Yeah.
Different quarterback. The idea was that whoever wins the competition, you may not agree with the choice, but you could feel comfortable that whoever won the competition would therefore be playing at a level that would give the Broncos a good chance to win and get good quarterback play. You got Vic Fangio with another year under his belt, hopefully figuring out the whole head coaching thing. You got a defense that looks on paper to be really, really stout. You got an improved running game. The offensive line is as good as it's been. There's been a lot of positive momentum built. How much of it is real? How much of it is the team and fans trying to talk themselves into believing that the optimism is real? Okay, there may be some of that. The fact is, there has been some positive momentum created over the last few months. And I think to go out and lose in week one, from a standings standpoint, would it be a crushing loss? No. But I just think that for what this team is trying to accomplish and put behind them, they got to win. They got to win on Wednesday. They got to win on Sunday, because otherwise, if they lose, then all of those below the surface negative feelings that the fans have, and maybe some of the doubts that the players have, a loss in game one would give an opportunity for all those feelings to come bubbling to the surface. And even if you turn around and you beat the Jaguars and you beat the Jets, you're 2-1. But what have you really accomplished?
Well,
right? All you've done is beaten two two teams with rookie quarterbacks who stink. Okay, so you can't totally feel like this is a team that is truly different. I think in order to really be able to prove that things are different, you got to come out after all the talk and all the optimism, and you got to deliver a win on Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, they know that. They're talking about that in those meeting rooms. Vic knows that 0-7 is just hanging over his head, right? If they lose against the Giants, that Bunsen burner under his butt gets turned up just a little more. But, like you said, the standings, it's not the end of the world. If they lose to the Giants, it depends on what that loss really looks like. You know what I mean? They're 3-0 in the preseason. They looked very game. They looked like a deep squad that played well, top to bottom. Won all three games. That's saying something. But I was on a couple teams that lost the first game of the season and then had really good seasons. 2005, we lost the first game of the season in Miami. We went there and lost to the Dolphins. They weren't a particularly good team that year. We just didn't play well in the first game. And then we went on a little run after that. We finished the season 13-3. So a first game.
What year was this?
05, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 2004 Denver Broncos went 10-6. The 2003 Denver Broncos went 10-6. The 2002 Denver Broncos went 9-7. Okay.
No, I get your point.
You had a foundation of winning.
Yeah. There is no foundation of winning.
There's no foundation here.
Team, right? So, yes, very important game. But they're also sort of walking into an emotional buzzsaw over there, right? It's going to be a lot of energy. It's going to be very loud. It's going to be emotional. The Giants are going to be playing with a lot of pep, I imagine. Joe Judge is going to have them ready to go. So, but I do see this, they got to be looking at this as their Super Bowl. Every game's got to be that way. It's really, it's going to come down to Pat Shurmur. What kind of game does he call? Like, what position does he put this offense in? I think the defense is going to have a pretty, not an easy time, but be able to hold the Giants under 20 points.
All right, this will be my question, Nate, for you, presented by Breaks Plus. Do you think Pat Shurmur has learned the lessons of last year?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so, because he has no choice but to learn. I mean, if he doesn't, he's out. And he might not get another chance. This could be his last chance. He's had a lot of chances. He's been a head coach 3 times, an offense coordinator a bunch of times, and he's had a lot of responsibility handed to him. And he hasn't always done well with that responsibility. And I think, he probably maybe wants to be a head coach again to fix that broken thing in his rearview mirror. So, simplify the game plan.
You don't think he gets caught up in going back to New York, the place that he was just the head coach a couple of years ago?
Great point.
You don't think he gets caught up in that? It's like, I'm going to show them.
Yeah, great
point.
I'm
going to put together a game plan that just dazzles everybody.
And you know what? He watched the game last night, too. And he's like, that's what the NFL is now.
Right?
So that's what we have to do to compete. And if the running game isn't working early, I can see him abandoning it completely and then just going 3 wide and just doing what we saw last night. The question is, do the Broncos have the rhythm on offense to be able to do that? But the Giants don't have the firepower on the opposite side to, go toe-to-toe like that. I don't see 108 pass attempts happening in the Broncos-Giants game.
You had 108 passing attempts between Dallas and Tampa Bay, and if you're looking at just running backs attempts, there were 20. There were 27. 108 passes to 27 runs.
Crazy.
Is that just the new NFL? Get on board or get left behind?
It can't be. I think that, the Bucs don't even try to run the ball. Really? And I think that, the Cowboys couldn't run on the Bucs, and so it was just what the game turned into was this, throw for throw thing. But I think you'll see different style play in different games. Tennessee and Cleveland beg to differ.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
If they have any running backs
left. Yeah, they might have to alter their vision with no running backs. But the Broncos need to be more of the Tennessee-Cleveland vein, right? Because they have very strong defenses and maybe weaker quarterback play. So,
I've heard it. I got to see it before I believe it. That Pat Shurmur's kind of changed his spots. I got to see it because...
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
I'd like to think that...
It just keeps giving, doesn't it?
I'd like to think that he understands that this is a team that needs to be able to run the ball and not put as much on the shoulders of his quarterback. But these offensive coordinators, they look around, they see games like last night, and they look at their own roster and they say, hey, I got Jerry Jeudy. I got Cortland Sutton. I got KJ Hamler. I got Tim Patrick. I got Noah Fant. I got Albert O. Why would I ignore these guys? I can't ignore these guys. I just think it's too enticing. So until I actually see it, I'm not buying the idea that Pat Shurmur's changed at all.
Yeah. If he's crunching the numbers, though, man. I mean, of course, Drew Locke was the guy under center last year. So you have to take that with a grain of salt because it's not the same quarterback. But last year, pretty much every interception thrown by Drew Lock was in three wide. And to me, they ran the ball more effectively in their two tight end set, two tight ends, two receivers, and one running back. And they play action very well out of that. And they have some tight ends who can do that. And, you know, you have some big receivers. You put Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton out there, those guys can block. And the running and our running back room is good as well. So that's your strength right there to me, especially when you're still trying to build the connection in the passing game. Teddy Bridgewater obviously has come a long way in a short amount of time here, but that takes a while, you know, to have what, well, Tom Brady's only been there a year too, but just to see what he's able to do with the ball, you know, you don't have to be open to have completions in the NFL. Tom Brady proves that. You just have to throw it to the right spot. And the guy sees it, slows down, and the guy covering him doesn't, and he keeps going, and it's a completion.
Yeah, and I'm watching Brady. I get it. It's Tom Brady. But still, watching him dissect surgically a defense, and all he's doing is just knowing where to go with the ball.
Yeah.
It's all just knowing who's open, knowing what the other defense is doing, and knowing what the options are for you, and going – it's not – you know, he can still step into a throw and he can still zip it. He can still spin it. There's no doubt. But there's no, but come on, for every one completion he has like that, every one throw he has like that, he has 10 or 11 where it's just, you know, just like I said, surgical, just boom, 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 you know, and we get so caught up in the big arm and the ability to have the explosive play. I don't know. Just give me a quarterback that just knows where to go with the ball, is accurate, and just knows how to dissect. Give me that quarterback 9 times out of 10.
It's just so hard to find that guy.
Is it? I would think it'd be easier to find the cerebral quarterback.
Well,
maybe not possessed with the huge arm, but and maybe doesn't have an ounce of mobility, but man, he just knows how to carve you up.
Well, you got one on your practice squad, Brett Rippon. I mean, there's a ton of guys with the mind.
Plenty of Ben, not a big fan of the Brett River. Like you, Benny, I didn't see that one coming either.
There's a ton of guys.
I'll be honest. Didn't see that one coming.
Look, there's a ton of guys with that mind that know where to go with it. Tom Brady's 44. He has so much experience and calmness. Calmness? Is that a word?
Yeah.
And he's just able to, he knows how to beat the game. He's got the cheat code. It's he knows exactly where to go with it and how to do it. And that just takes experience. So, like, it's very rare to have a guy who has that much experience and that you can hang your hat on that. And he can just, I mean, it's just a short passing game. Everything's just boop, 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 mm-hmm. boop. They're not, you know, taking a 7-step drop and slinging it around and doing anything really too complex either. He just, like you said, sees the defense, sees where the weakness is in the defense, and exploits it every single time. If they blitz, he attacks the blitz. He doesn't run away from that. He doesn't go to the other side. He goes right at it. That touchdown he threw to Gronk, you know, he went right at it. And he continues to do that. But then he does some weird freaky athletic stuff. I can't believe I said that about Tom Brady, but... But that he saw the blitz coming and he did some weird shimmy to get out of it and he was falling, you know, sideways and threw that ball to Leonard Fournette over there. Wow. I was impressed with that. Is he getting younger? I think he sleeps upside down.
I don't know. He's got some Benjamin Button thing going on.
I think he sleeps upside down.
There is an alien quality to him now that I gotta start wondering about.
Like have you seen him smile? On the field, he never smiles. He's like either celebrating a touchdown or just like, here in the headlights.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah. Right. Right. Uber just, focused.
Yeah. Crazy. The look in his eyes is very calm.
Hey, while we're talking about looks on this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me? Did Drew Brees get the Jason Witten treatment?
yeah, sure he did.
That's a, where'd that come from?
He got the implants,
did he talk
man.
To, did he talk to Tyler?
Did he talk to Tyler?
Yeah, he did.
He talked to Tyler.
Did he go see Farrah and Dr. Pauls? Did he do that? Did he talk to Stink? I mean, All our guys here are pushing hair restoration.
Isn't that funny?
I did it a long time ago. It does. Well, you know, for all the talk about the wispiness, it took. It could have been a lot worse. It would have been a lot worse if I hadn't done it, trust me. But, yeah, that's, that look from Breeze kind of caught me off guard.
It did.
You too?
Yeah, it did.
I did a double take.
Have you seen Urlacher?
No,
Urlacher went from bald in his playing days to now a full weird.
Does he? Oh, no, you're right. It was. Witten lost all his. Urlacher got it. Still has it.
Urlacher has weird, I don't even know how to describe it, but yeah, he got the whole shebang put in, and he was completely bald as a cue ball before that.
Right.
And now he's just like carpet up there. It's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't just me.
No, it wasn't just you.
Okay.
Hey, but how do you think he did it as an analyst?
I thought he did great.
I mean, he's real smart.
Yeah. No, I thought it was good. It was just like, where'd all that hair come from? Brady's a vampire. Yeah, he is. He's a vampire. Let's see. Get to some more. Is it just me's? You goofs act like you just started watching football. Brady's been doing this forever, and Teddy Bridgewater can do the same. Give him his props, haters, from the privileged one.
He can do the same, but he hasn't. So obviously you would be a little suspicious that he could. I don't think that's hating. Wait, is this texter saying Bridgewater can be Brady?
No, but stylistically can be the same.
Oh, yeah.
Can do the same things.
I mean, I see that similarity. Teddy, step into the line.
I'm expecting it. I go into this like, okay, you've tried to sell me on Teddy Bridgewater. I've bought in. Okay. I have decided to buy in. I am going
to
give.
I
am giving him.
Like a timeshare. You got me. All right.
You got me. You wore me down. You got me. I've decided to do it. I'm going to take the plunge. So I'm buying into the idea that what I'm getting in Teddy Bridgewater is not somebody who's going to be, you know, just throwing daggers down the field or anything like that. He's not going to be taking off and just, you know, running wild in the secondary, but I am buying into the idea that this is a guy who's going to be smart. He's going to be decisive. He's going to be accurate. And he's going to be able to take all the weapons at his disposal and just calmly and efficiently get the ball into the right guy's hands. And then those former first and second round draft picks are just going to go make plays. I bought in. You?
Well, not yet.
That doesn't sound like a enthusiastic buy-in.
Well, we got to see it, Mike. You know, we got to see it. But I definitely hadn't bought into Drew Lock either.
Right.
You know, these guys were in a competition, and you know, Vic flipped the coin, and it turned up heads for Teddy.
That was better. You're getting better.
Hey,
somebody says your Drew Lock impression's very good. I don't think I've heard that.
It's not. Oh, man, why did I make that throw? I can't believe it. I thought he was open. Something like that. he's just kind of a good kid, you know. He just wants to make plays and be there for his bros. And, like, I don't know, like, I learned a lot this offseason, just, like, working hard and just, like, the footwork and stuff.
That's good. Good. A little kid-like quality.
Yeah, but like, you know, just very humble and just appreciative of just being in the moment, just trying to be here for my guys. And it was disappointing. For real, to be, you know, to have to not win the competition. But, you know, I'm going to be there for my bros.
My bros. Oh. Is it just me, or does Drew Brees look like he could strap on the helmet and play with his new hair? Dude looks 10 to 15 years younger. He does.
Yeah. And he was always very self-conscious of his, well, as all of us are. When
sure.
We, you know, but for a guy under the spotlight all the time, like he'd come to the sideline, he'd take off his helmet. He knew the cameras were on him. He'd be like, oh, you know, trying to fill in the spots. But now he doesn't have to do that anymore.
That thing is glorious.
Dr. Tanya Pauls, man.
Yeah, that thing is glorious. Let's see. Nate just called Brett Rippett and Tom Brady. I spit out my coffee.
Well, hold on. Didn't you see a little bit of that in Brett Rippett?
No.
I'm talking about Look, I'm talking about the line of scrimmage diagnosis. I'm not giving this any oxygen whatsoever.
No way.
Come on, man.
Telling you.
Seriously.
Your world frightens and confuses me.
Is it just me? Pat Shurmur better have changed. I swear his offense is garbage.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Larry Legend, Mike, I appreciate the point you're trying to make, but saying this is a must win is the equivalent of saying the Broncos must start 3-0. If they win this game and then lose to one of those bad rookie QB teams, what are we saying? Well, yeah, I mean, if they win this game, which is a must win, and then those other two, let's make it simple. I don't see any way this team can get to 10 wins. Even with an extra game, 10 wins still represents, that's a whole nother level. I don't think this team can get to 10 wins unless they start 3-0.
Really?
I don't.
What about Baltimore, man? They've all of a sudden become an inferior team to what they were.
I think the Broncos. So you were suddenly, when this schedule came out, you said, oh, I give the Broncos no chance to beat Baltimore.
No, not no
of J.K.
chance.
Dobbins.
No, not no chance.
But or when you Gus lose, Edwards.
When you lose both. I mean, imagine if the Broncos lost their top two running backs right now. Would change what
and
they
And I still
doing.
Have Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
I'd probably feel okay about being able
to. We got a Jackson 5!
Hey! Withstand that. You gotta, come on, you understand, don't you, that any confidence, any optimism that is out there right now among the players, among the front office, among the fan base is perilous at best, right? It's tenuous.
Perilous?
It's not a strong limb of optimism that we're standing out there on right now.
It's
shaky.
I think it might be.
Lose this first game, you know, I think that branch snaps.
I think
the fans are. There's a whole lot of here we go again.
I don't know about that.
I think the players will instantly have some doubts. Vic will immediately be on the hot seat.
He's no longer a Bronco.
Teddy Bridgewater will immediately be on the hot seat.
One game.
If they lose this game, yes.
Yeah. I think it depends on what the game looks like.
You're making the transition from being a player to the dark side, okay?
Right. Yeah.
I've been on the dark side for a long, long time. I was born on the dark side. Okay? I was born. And I'm telling you, I know how this fan base thinks and reacts, and they want to buy in. Right now they're sitting here willing to give the Broncos the benefit of the doubt. But it's tenuous, man. And they lose this game, there's going to be a whole lot of... And even if they then go out and beat Jacksonville and the Jets, they'll still be, all right, you beat two teams, you have rookie quarterbacks. You better beat them or it would be hugely embarrassing. No, I think they have to go 3-0.
Wow.
Yeah, you really do.
I mean, do you guys agree? Do the fans agree with that?
No, they're not going to agree. They're not going to agree with me because it's, you know, what happens if they do lose? Was the season over?
Well, that's the thing.
They don't want to acknowledge that, but I am telling you, if they don't win this game, I don't see how they get to 10 wins.
This is just the fourth preseason game, Mike. I'm just kidding. I know, it's a joke.
Like, you brought up that team that in 05 that lost the first game and then ended up going 13-3.
Yeah.
But that was a team, like I mentioned, that had just gone 10-6 and 10-6 the 2 years before. You guys had enough confidence. There was still enough of a culture here. An understanding of what's expected, but also how to do it, that you could shrug off a loss. This team just hasn't. They don't have enough banked. You know what I mean? They don't have enough goodwill banked. I don't think they have enough confidence banked, belief banked. We were talking about this the other day. You go up and down their roster, and Melvin Gordon was talking the other day about how, and maybe you can find that clip, Benny, from Gordon. I'll tell you what. I want to give you time. To find it. I want to play it. I want to give the conversation a little bit more time to be able to get into this whole thing. Want to hear from you. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. You got stuff you want to get off your chest? Hit us up on the RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Stink had to leave. He's off to Giants facility to do all his interviews and prep and all that. Strut around the practice field like a big deal. Nate Jackson sitting in. Thank you, Nate, for coming in. You'll be hearing Nate with Chad coming up at 9 o'clock. Also, don't forget, get to DenverFan.com and make your picks in the King Supers Fan Football Pick'em. Hopefully you took Tampa, and everyone's saying they were at 1-0. All right, we'll hear from Melvin Gordon, and I'll further make my case why this team has to win on Sunday. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
With Nate Jackson in for Stink, we had to leave a little early to go off to Giants facility to continue his prep for the game on Sunday, calling Broncos and Giants on Fox. So, yeah, we're posing the question, is this a must-win for the Broncos? Mike in Castle Rock, lifelong Broncos fan, I agree 3-0 is a must. Another one, yes, the team has to go 3-0. They're way too talented on both sides of the ball to lose winnable games. Also, the defensive-minded Fangio cannot continue to allow teams to win games on their last drives. Let's see. Evans is smoking crack. This is not a must-win game. Typical media overhype. Huh. So you got a team that's missed the playoffs five straight years, has been below 500 the last four, and me saying that they have to get off to a 3-0 start is classic media hype, because why? We can trust this team? We can trust this team to get off to a slow start and rally? Come on, this team is 0-7 in September, and that's been the precursor to lousy seasons. When September ends. And I'm telling you, they got to do it the other way. They got to try it the other way. They got to get off to a fast start and then see what that does for the rest of their season. Let's try it this way. Let's put the urgency on doing it this way, getting off to a fast start, rather than assuming they can get off to a slow start and then somehow figure it out as the season goes along. They've tried that. Can't do it.
Yeah. Let's try not losing the first three games, right? I've never been on a team that lost the first three games. Other than my freshman year of high school, we went 0-9. And other than that, I've never had that experience, especially not in the NFL. I was fortunate enough to play for the Broncos during a time where we expected to win every game, and we always came out pretty hot. We did lose that first game in 2005, lost the first game in 2006 as well, and then went on little runs. But I think that if they get this win in New York, it'll just be such a huge, huge weight off of everyone's shoulders. I mean, especially Vic Fangio. The knock against him is you can't win in September. That's his thing, right? That is the narrative right now. He's got to answer questions about it constantly. His players have to answer questions about it. Teddy said they've been talking about it since the spring. So there's
But did you just hear what you said? You just said, wow, if they're able to win this game, it'd be a huge win. It'd be a monster win.
Huge.
Okay.
Huge.
Huge. So then if they lose it, then it's no big deal.
I didn't say no big deal.
It wasn't a must win anyway.
What you said was if they win this, or if they lose this game, they lose the fans. The branch breaks.
They definitely lose the fans for a while. Yeah,
until the next week. And
you can't.
Short memories.
You can't lose this game and then beat Jacksonville and the Jets and be a fan of this team and think, okay, they're fine.
A win is a win.
No, because at some point these fans are smart enough to know that you had a chance to go into a very difficult environment on a very emotional weekend against a Giants team that isn't great, but they're not horrible, and you couldn't take advantage and beat them. So now we're supposed to put stock in wins over Jacksonville and the Jets? Uh-uh. Don't try to fool me as a Bronco fan. You know, wake me up. You know, when you get the Ravens at home and beat them, then maybe I'll start to pay attention again. No, this is your opportunity to really grab people's attention.
I agree with that. It's going to be on a national stage. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game for different reasons than the Broncos. And they have an opportunity, and Vic Fangio has to be standing in front of them, telling them about that opportunity. that the way we're looked at nationally isn't favorable. People don't respect you guys. How are you going to change that? We have a chance to go into their backyard and silence 70,000 fans and show them who the 2021 Denver Broncos are. So are you going to take that challenge? That's what he's telling these guys, I hope. And they understand the weight of this moment. It is really important for them to get off to this start. I'm just saying, a win is a win and a loss is a loss when it comes to, you know, the win and loss column.
But see, you come from, you know, your time here, especially, where there was an understanding of winning. There was a culture of winning. There was a coach who had won. So you could lose a game and everybody could look around and just feel and see reasons why we'll be fine. You don't have that here. Melvin Gordon was talking the other day and he gave a great answer, but I thought his answer was revealing for another reason. Here it is.
It's a lot of guys that are hungry. We've been saying it, you know, we've been in position last year where it wasn't good. We started slow, you know, we made good runs coming back, but being in that hole, man, is not a good feeling. You know, coming down that stretch where it's like you have to win to get in is not a good feeling. You know, you want to know you have some security, you want that bye. I've been a part of a winning team before, and it's just the atmosphere is just so much better, man. When you're losing, everyone can feel it. You know, everything is so tense. You know, it is what it is. It's just that's part of the game, man. It's everyone's tense, everyone's on edge. When you walk around, it's just tough. But when you're winning, it's just loose. You know, it's loose. It's a better atmosphere. It's a better place to be. And you know, for those rookies that came in last year, you know, they don't know how that feels. You know, and we kind of want to get them that. You know, Teddy's been part of a winning season. I've had a winning season. Some guys in here had some winning seasons before, especially other guys that have been with different teams. But we want to bring that here because this, you know, this is a winning culture here. You know, and we want to get that Super Bowl. And we want to know how it feels. We're tired of looking at Patrick Mahomes holding up and Tom Brady holding up the trophy at the end of the year. We want to change that, man. So to do that, we got to stack those W's.
He said, I've been part of a winning season.
A winning season.
Teddy Bridgewater's been part of a winning season.
Yeah.
Other than Von Miller and Brandon McManus, who knows real winning on this team? Up and down the roster, look at it. There's very few guys in the pros who've experienced success. Vic Fangio's experienced no success as a head coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do not have a deep pool of experience to lean on and turn to if you lose this first game. And the naysayers are immediately going to start to, because this is a team that we are expecting them to win. Mm-hmm. That's the expectation.
Yeah.
They're favored.
Yeah.
They're a road favorite. Something that they haven't enjoyed that kind of status very often over the last handful of years. They're a road favorite. The expectation is, hey, go in, win this game. Everybody who's a Broncos fan has heard all week. The Giants' offensive line is garbage. Saquon Barkley, by the way, in case you missed it, Mark earlier today said that he's hearing some rumblings that Saquon Barkley may not play. And even if he does play, will be on a really, really limited pitch count, like barely play at all because he hasn't played in the preseason. He's coming back from an ACL. This game's on turf, and the Giants turn around Thursday night and play a very important division game against Washington on grass. And the thinking is that they may wait to unleash Barkley for that game. So you add it all up. The fans are aware of all of this. You got to win. You got to win. And if you don't win, who exactly are the guys with their winning season behind them? How are they going to be able to convey a sense of, hey, don't worry, we're good.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Eh.
Who are they going to look to?
Brandon McManus.
Brandon McManus.
Give us a speech.
Sure. Vaughn, give us a speech.
They're on a 3-game win streak right now, Mike. Let's make it 4, right? Look, all these guys on this team, they might not have had winning seasons, but they've had winning seasons before in their experience in college and high school. These guys are all winners when they get to the NFL. It's a shock to then start to be on a loser. Winning in the NFL is different, though. It requires like this daily mastery of the rigmarole of, you know, the start of the day to the end of the day. And it's down to the minute. There's an itinerary for every single minute, and you have to master that. And when you do, you win. And you realize after you win a game on Sunday, oh my gosh, this was this whole week's process that led to this moment. And if you have a good week of practice, if your preparation is on point, you come into Sunday feeling very confident. And you expect to win, and then you do. It's not a surprise. So hopefully what these Broncos are doing are preparing in a manner that will make winning not a surprise, but an expectation.
All right, I gave my prediction earlier. I like the Broncos 23-17. You'll give yours coming up next.
We've got Nate Jackson staying in for Mark, who had to bolt to start his preparation over Giant facilities. And, of course, Nate's going to be sticking around. Teaming up with Chad Brown coming up here between 9 and 11. 9 and noon. 9 and noon. You get 4 hours today.
Sorry.
This texter says, so, Mike, if the Broncos lose, they should tank the season and draft Rattler? Come on, you can't truly believe this. No, if they lose to the Giants, is the season over? No, I just think the expectations have to change. If they lose this game, yeah, can they still win 8-9 games? 9 games? Sure. I'm talking about if they're going to truly exceed expectations and really have a surprising season, a playoff season, a 10-win-plus season, I think they have to win this game. I think they have to get off to a 3-0 start. And so much of it is based on it's not based, Nate, on they have to be 3-0. That 2-1 just won't cut it. They have to be 3-0. It's the idea of what this team that has experienced so much losing over the last year and what they've been able to do this offseason, much to their credit, is make the kind of moves and have the kind of new look players, new arrivals, some guys who've been hurt coming back. And they've been able to create this overall idea that the worst is behind us and that things are getting better. Things are going to get better. The roster is getting better. We've got a new GM here with a fresh approach to doing things. And we've got players coming back that are hungry, that are healthy, with a lot to prove. You've been able to build this really good groundswell of optimism and momentum, and I just think you have to pay it off with a victory on Sunday. And that if you don't, I think you lose a lot of that, and I think it's tough to get it back. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they could lose this game, and they still go on and win 10 of their next 16 games. And they go to the playoffs, and it's a really fun season. That'd be great. I just think it'd be very difficult to do without the huge boost of confidence that you get from winning this game. That's all.
I hear you.
I'm changing the season. I'm just talking about
I hear you.
Changing the expectations.
Let me ask you this. Is the Cowboys season done?
No, but for two answers.
Right.
One, come on, anybody watching Dak Prescott, not even before last night, I mean, just last year, I mean, knows that this guy's a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the game. So they got that going for him, and they play in a lousy division.
Okay. But they lost.
Yeah.
But the loss looked pretty good. All losses aren't, you know, created equal. What I'm saying is, you can see that a team is game and ready for the season, even when they lose a close game. I believe the Broncos are going to win this game. I do. But if they lose, what did that loss look like? And I think, you know, if fans are encouraged by what they saw, but it was a hard-fought game, a close game, the Broncos ended up losing a tough one, you know, there weren't any bonehead mistakes, or they seemed to improve in areas where they were deficient last year, I think there could still be optimism that they could figure this thing out. Now, if they go out there and lay an egg and get beat by 2 scores, and it just is a sloppy, you know, they try a flea flicker again, and that doesn't go well, and, you know, Vic botches a timeout, and the same old stuff happens, yes, the branch will break. But I think that, you know, if they lose in a way that, I don't know.
But the Dallas thing, it's not a good comparison because...
They were bad last year.
But Dallas was expected to lose this game. Dallas was almost a double-digit underdog in this game, and it was Tampa. If you were telling me when the schedule came out that the Broncos were going to be opening the season in Tampa and they were going to be a double-digit underdog and then they went out and played that kind of game, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah.
But that was because I went into the game expecting them to lose.
Right.
I'm going into this game expecting them to win.
Yeah, I mean, you just blew my comparison out of the water.
Why are you doing that?
Well,
you know.
I guess the point I'm making, man, is that,
look,
you know,
you're going to throw me a hanging curveball. I got to get out of the park, okay?
I guess the point is if you throw
a better pitch next time.
All right, I got one coming at you here.
Here comes the heat.
Yeah,
here comes the heat.
Right in my head. No, man, I agree with you that this is a very, very important game to buck this trend that the Broncos are dealing with. And there is a lot of skepticism in Broncos country about this team, this coach, this quarterback, this GM, you know, of all the praise that's been heaped upon George Payton, is it going to translate? Because that's really where it matters. So I do think that it's all, you know, these guys feel the weight of this game and they're going to show up and prove it. And if they don't, they're going to be behind the eight ball for sure.
I think they win 23-17. You?
I got 24-9.
Wow, you're like Stink. You see him winning and winning big. He had him 28-10.
Yeah, I see.
Why such a blowout?
Well, I think the defense is good. They're going to just kind of hold these guys to three field goals. And I think the offense is good enough, you know, to move the ball, to run the ball effectively on this defense. You know, it was a good defense last year, particularly in the last half of the season, but not great. And I think this offense has the ability to move the ball against this team. I think they're going to put up 24 points, which isn't crazy.
No.
I mean, you know, 24 points isn't going to cut it against some teams.
Do you think, though, that is kind of the magic number for them offensively?
24?
Yeah, that if this is a team that can average 24 points per game with their defense, that's the formula for getting to 10 wins.
Yeah, if the defense plays as well as we think they can, there's going to be games where they don't. There's going to be games where the Broncos need to score 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be games like last night. Can the Broncos compete in a game like last night when their running game isn't working and it's a shootout? You know, can the Broncos win a game where Teddy Bridgewater throws 43 attempts?
Right.
Does Teddy have the arm to throw the ball 43 times or 58 like Dak did? By the way, Dak with the injury to his lat and everything, he threw the ball. I mean, he's got to be hurting today, right? There's no way Dak is going to last the whole season when they play him like this. I don't think. I mean, geez. They just rely on Dak so much.
Ezekiel Elliott washed up.
Or they're just not using him.
Yeah. That was just a team that came in with a game plan specific, right? Just that, hey, we don't think we can run against these guys. We're not even going to try. We're not going to even bother. I think at one point in the second quarter, they had thrown passes on 19 of 20 plays. Like their last 20 plays, they had thrown 19 times, Dallas had.
It seems like an odd game plan when your quarterback is dealing with a variety of injury problems, especially to his throwing arm. He didn't throw much in camp, and you're going to just dial him up like that? That seems strange, but he was able to handle it.
It was good football last night.
Oh, it was great.
And you think with all these teams, and maybe it's just we got to just stop with the – and for some teams, I think it does matter, but I think maybe we just need to stop collectively – when we talk about what the NFL is doing in its off seasons and shaking our head and clutching our pearls about, oh, this is just not the right way and this isn't the way they used to do it and this doesn't get you prepared. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens on Sunday and Monday, the kind of football we watch. Now, but that was good football last night.
It was really good.
You know, it wasn't, I mean, there were some mistakes made, but I didn't just think it was a grinding, boring, error marred slop fest, you know. It was good football.
It was real good.
You know, so maybe that's just a different way of doing things now, and it does work out. Hey, listen, thank you very much for sitting in.
Hey,
appreciate it.
You all
warmed up?
All warmed up,
all
ready to go.
You ready to carry Chad for at least probably the first couple segments as he gets warmed up?
Yeah, well, he's driving, so I'm just going to chill and let Chad get warmed up.
All right. Chad and Nate coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.